You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, markets continue to implode. The resource sector is getting completely slammed. And is it time to liquidate your remaining mining stocks, or should you be buying more? That's really the question. And here to answer it is our good friend, Jamie Keach.
Okay, so my answer is no, and then yes.
Are we good?
All right. Podcast over now.
All right. Well, hey, that was fast. I think this could be a record, Jamie, for the fastest podcast I've ever done. Hey, resourceinsider.com. And Jamie, you're a mining engineer, but you're an entrepreneur, and you're an astute analyst of the sector. Let's go back to a little Warren Buffett misquote that I often use, which is, I buy when there's blood in the streets. I sell when there's major optimism. I will always buy a dollar's worth of assets for 10 cents on the dollar if I can find it. All right. Are we at that point now?
I think so. I mean, you know, the question is, how much further down do we have to go, right? This is a major shakeout. Which I think was massively overdue. I think what we're seeing now is one of the big sort of wealth transfers of our generation, right? From growth to value. And this is kind of the moment that we started Resource Insider for. We launched Resource Insider in 2018 to take advantage of what we saw as a coming massive bull market in real assets. And, you know, we had a bit of a taste of being right in 2020 when gold stocks ran and commodity stocks ran, when we saw the pullback in 2021. This is the real shakeout that I think needs to happen, right? When the FANG stocks are taking up the majority of the S&P 500, when tech companies of any sort of character are being valued at $1 billion plus, you know, there's a huge misalignment in the market. And I think right now is we're seeing the correction. And unfortunately, it's a violent correction because that's probably what needs to happen. And in the short term, I mean more than 3 months and less than 12 months, we're going to see, I think, every single thing be shaken out and in a lot of pain. But once that happens, I think we're going to see the mother of all sort of first gold markets and then general commodity market.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. I got a couple years on you. And in the 60s, there were these stocks called the Nifty 50. That included Xerox, IBM, and a bunch of other, what were once household names. And they were called one decision stocks. You bought them, you held on to them for life, and then you retired. And then, you know what happened to the Nifty 50? The 70s. The bear market of the 70s, yeah. Killed those stocks. And all of a sudden, people learned that maybe investing is a little more complicated. Well, history and the markets especially always repeats itself. What we have seen over the past decade is the resurrection of the Nifty 50, but the FANG stocks, the stay-at-home stocks, cloud computing stocks, all of those stocks all getting hammered, getting the stuffing beat out of them. They're profitable companies. Google is still making a boatload of money. Even Facebook, even though the stock's really gotten slammed, still making a ton of money. Hey, who knows? Maybe we'll all find a bolt hole into the metaverse, hide there until this market, decline is over. And, you know, look at Apple. Apple, ton of money. They could have made more if only the supply chain hadn't been obliterated. Over the last quarter, they're still profitable. Those Nifty 50 stocks stayed profitable, a lot of them, for the decade. But you know what? The market just didn't care because their allure, their aura of invincibility, and that's what these stocks have had, was totally, totally taken away, swept away. And then in 1982, we had the next bull market begin. the Nifty 50s never reasserted their prominence. And that bit of idiocy in the market, which we see repeated over and over again, was really gone until the tech boom, dot-com boom, which blew up in 2000. And now the FANG stocks, and the FANG isn't just those five stocks, six stocks. It's the broader tech sector. Their era of invincibility is over.
Couldn't agree more.
So do we actually go to a time where commodity super cycle really gets firmly in place? And then not just the precious metals miners, but all of these commodities, which our governments around the world, you and I have talked about this, have been pursuing policies in exact opposite direction of where these supply of commodities needs to come from. Is it really going to be the metals companies, the commodity producers that really become ascendant?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good point that you said, right? That your countries are pursuing policies that are not sort of, or have been pursuing policies that are not pro-resource. But I think that has changed. I think the game has changed a lot with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I think the world has woken up to what is first the importance, the essential nature of controlling your own energy, you know, and, you know, I'd say Angela Merkel's sort of disastrous energy policy in Germany is going to go, you know, cement her reputation in history as perhaps the second worst leader Germany has ever seen, I would say.
You're so cruel, Jamie. You're so cruel.
But I mean it. I mean, Europe right now is waking up to the importance of energy independence. The United States is well aware of this. I think countries are kind of looking at what's happening with Russia and saying, holy shit, do we really want to put our energy and then I think broader commodity futures in the hands of a bunch of lunatic despots that might leverage that to roll into and take over whatever country they want. So I think there's a very, very drastic change afoot in the decision-making corridors of the entire Western world right now. And I think that is going to trickle down through the entire commodity sector, first energy, but also metals, also agriculture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. And I agree with you. It's long overdue. It's a process that's taking place. The whole concept of licensing and permitting, whether it's nuclear power plants, new mines, copper mines, all of that is going to be stood on its head. Now, I was talking to Rick Rule recently, and he told me something, a quote from Elon Musk that I didn't know, in that his next target of disruption is the mining industry.
Did he say that?
Yeah, this is what Rick said. I can't find it, but I assume if Rick Rule tells me something, he knows it for a fact because he wouldn't open his mouth otherwise. But think about all these tunneling machines, tunneling under Las Vegas, and the idea. You know, if mining has evolved, it's been an evolutionary business, right? Since the advent of dynamite and heavy earth moving equipment, various extraction processes like the cyanide extraction of metals. But we really have not had any like major innovations in mining. No. In decades, we're kind of like still doing things the way we've been doing for the past 100 years, like right. And think about like a thing like this Proofrock 3 that could tunnel 7 miles a week. And
I haven't heard of this. I have not heard of this. What's Proofrock 3?
Okay, let me for those of you not aware. So Elon Musk came up with this company, the Boring Company.
Okay, I know that. So right. Is that his tunnel boring machine? It's called
the Proofrock 3. The latest iteration. The first one was a TBM tunnel boring machine that I think he bought from a German company. Now this thing is electrified and it's robotic. And basically he says it's going to be able to tunnel 7 miles. I heard a day, but let's say it's a week. The idea of all of these things that we go through right now, 43-101 resource estimates, everything else, this could be stood on its head by new tunnel boring technology, the ability to just have a robotic machine go dig out tons and tons of of rock a day or a week could conceivably be in the offing.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Torque Resources is an exploration company establishing a portfolio of premier copper gold early stage projects in Chile. Torque's management and technical teams have a strong track record of raising capital, discovery, and monetization of exploration successes. The company's Margarita Copper Gold Project is located within the prolific coastal Cordillera Belt in Chile, which hosts some of the world's largest and most profitable copper mines. The Margarita Project possesses excellent discovery potential for a major copper discovery due to the strength of the alteration system, large-scale magnetic targets, and the presence of copper oxide mineralization. Drilling is anticipated to begin in Q3 of this year. Torque trades in Canada under TORQ and on the OTC under TRBMF. To learn more, go to torqueresources.com. That's torqueresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
You know what the real bottleneck is? It's similar to that, is drilling. You know, drilling is so expensive. You know, it ranges from a few hundred dollars to a meter to well north of $1,000 a meter. So, you know, when you're drilling a project, wherever it is, you know, especially the remote ones, you've got to get the equipment out there. That might mean helicoptering it in more remote places. You need to get experienced operators out there that actually know how to run quite complex equipment. You need to pay them. Generators,
energy,
etc., water. So you're out there. It's extremely expensive. Drill holes go wrong all the time. You spend tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars sinking a drill hole and it gets lost because a variety of things that can go wrong. The person that figures out how to drill more quickly and more cheaply, that's what unlocks the next deposits of tomorrow. Because, you know, we have all sorts of imaging, technology, but at this point, you know, even geophysics, et cetera, can't really look below the ground in any sort of real granularity. And we need to drill test everything before it gets mined. And that is not changing, as far as I can tell, anytime soon. So the low hanging fruit there is, can you find a way to drill more often, faster, and cheaper? And that's what's really going to drive discovery in the sector. And so far, no one's really done it. I mean, there's RC drilling versus diamond drilling, but there's massive, you know, drawbacks to that. There are backpack drills that you can take into remote location.
It's a drill by any name. It's a drill by any name, right?
Yeah.
But imagine, like, they built two tunnels that were like about a mile and a half altogether in Vegas. And they did it like in record time. Like, these are 12-foot tunnels. Maybe they come up with a smaller machine and they just set it off and it just drills and drills and drills and figures out where everything is, maps it. And maybe it's, hey, he's got something planned here, Jane.
One of my first jobs after university, I worked in Hong Kong for a big international construction contractor, actually first designing and then building subway tunnels in Hong Kong. So we built the South Island line in Hong Kong for those Hong Kongites listening here. And, you know, those tunnels, when, you know, you're digging those tunnels out, you're drilling. So you're at that point, we were drilling and blasting. Right. You know, you're lucky to go, you know, a meter a day, a couple meters a day, really.
That's fast.
So the idea that someone could go 7 miles, even a week, is like such a game changer for that space. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they called those tunnel boring machines back in the day, they called them moles, like the mole, like the animal that tunnels under the ground. And, you know, it sounds like it could have modified applicability to the mining space, because if you could go drill all these holes autonomously with a robotic device and, you know, drill dozens, hundreds of holes in the time it takes to drill a few of them now, that could be the game changer, right?
Well, so that would be for mining. So I was thinking in exploration, actually drilling exploration holes. In terms of tunnel boring for mining, you know, that's an interesting question. So right now, tunnel boring machines are not used in mining, and there are a couple of reasons for that. The main one is they're extremely expensive currently to use, and the second reason is they don't turn. very easily. They're basically good for very straight lines or like very slow arcs you can kind of do with them. So we don't use them in mining. But you know, that has been kicked around for a while, if that is possible, right? Because accessing ore bodies at depth is always a challenge. There's basically two ways to do it. You sink a shaft, which goes straight down, or you sink what's called a decline, which is a spiraling ramp down. Yeah. And if you could find a way to use these things in a decline and sink those more quickly and more effectively, more cheaply, that would be a huge, huge game changer. Because underground mining, I think, is going to be more and more of the future. First of all, we're already scooping up a lot of the like easy to access deposits. Like we've been mining them for, you know, multiple thousands of years. So we're running out of those every day. And so the world's future deposits are going to be deeper and deeper and deeper. And to get them, you're going to have to sink a shaft or a decline underground. You can't just scoop out a big hole. And secondly, you know, everywhere in the world, environmental regulations are increasing. And I don't think that's going to change significantly anytime soon. And underground mining is way less impactful, typically way easier to get permitted than open pit mining. So I think it's going to be a bigger role. And we're long, long overdue for innovation in that sector.
Yep. And he could be the one because, interestingly enough, he's been like the Chinese buying up resources, Musk, around the world, whether it's lithium, nickel, all these different resources. He's thought strategically about it because he's got a goal of 20 million cars by 2030 per year. I personally am skeptical that it can be done, but let's assume that it can. He's going to need the resources that go along with it. And that means a ton of lithium, megatons of lithium, and everything else, even aluminum, you know, things like that, that are, you know, the supply chain is just in tatters now.
Yes. Yeah. No, I've heard Elon Musk comment on both lithium, discussing buying lithium mines, but also nickel. You know, I think there's a quote, he said something like they shouldn't be called lithium ion batteries. They should be called nickel ion batteries because nickel actually is the key component there. And, you know, we saw that massive nickel run earlier this year, you know, like double, I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was a
parabolic,
double, like 24 hours or something like that.
Parabolic.
That was trading like a cryptocurrency, basically. It was wild. And there's there's very, very few nickel deposits on the horizon. We don't see nickel discoveries that often. They're hard to find. They tend to be deep. They're super expensive to mine. Metallurgically, they tend to be extremely complex. You know, it's not like gold where you basically just pull it out of the damn ground. You know, nickel is hard to liberate from the rocks. And there's a lot of science that's gone into that. And that, you know, the end result is it's really, really expensive to find and develop a nickel mine, which is why, you know, the famous run of Voisey's Bay, you know, Diamond Fields by Robert Friedland, which sold for, I think it was $4 billion in 1999 or early 2000s. You know, it's because he found, you know, one of the true great nickel deposits in the world. And we don't stumble across those very often.
Yeah, they're lower grade, which means you got to mine a lot of tons to get a decent amount and high capex, all those things, right?
Nickel mining's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. It's metallurgically complex. It's, you know, there's a reason only a couple of major companies in the world actually even attempted, you know, Ballet being the big one right now. It's a super complicated space. And, you know, it's, you know, I'm constantly on the lookout for junior exploration companies with solid nickel projects. I can say I have not invested in a single one in the last 3 years that I've been able to find that I wanted to own.
Interesting. So we're going to be faced with this. So, hey, final message to the nervous shareholders there who don't want to become bag holders in the resource sector. It's not going anywhere.
What I would say is, look, if you own a basket of resource stocks, figure out the ones that are the best in your portfolio. It really depends on what your risk appetite is. If you're looking for huge, as you said earlier, parabolic returns, the companies that are going to get the biggest returns when capital floods back into this space are, of course, going to be the exploration companies. But right now, despite gold equities and some other commodities going to absolute shit, the commodities are very, very strong. You know, gold is trading at 1850, 1860. Gold mining companies are getting hammered. Gold royalty companies are getting hammered. And they're making money hand over fist right now. And I think, you know, when the dust settles here and all this capital has been pulled out of the tech sector and it's floating around up there and it's looking for where do we put this now in a safe sort of environment that's not going to blow up in our face, I think a lot of it goes to gold. And those companies are going to be the first to benefit from it because they are profitable, cash flowing companies with solid track records and solid management teams, and they're going to rip and they're going to rip. So if you're looking for the, you know, quote unquote, safe bet in the mining or gold space, that is the safe bet. If you've got a little more appetite for risk and you're looking for big returns, then it will exist in the developers and the junior companies. But you've got to pick your horse very carefully there because, you know, there's going to be ones that go up 2 times, 5 times, 10 times. And then there's going to be some that just does not matter what the environment is. We'll never get off the ground. So I would say approach that with caution.
Yeah. Hey, and while we were speaking, all the indices, I should mention it's May 10th, 2020 at around 2:25 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, God, what happened?
Everything's gone green.
There you go. Someone must have been listening to our conversation here, Carrie. I think that's probably what triggered it.
Yeah, it had to have been the psychic waves were out there, you know, or the mention of Elon Musk, whatever it takes.
But, he's probably listening.
More importantly, S&P is over 4,000. All right. It looks like it's going to hold that level, in which case this decline could be a faint memory in a couple of weeks.
There we go.
It holds that 4,000. I mean, NASDAQ's below 12,000. Dow is below 33. But S&P holding the 4,000 mark, really important technical point. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about resourceinsider.com. Go there, subscribe. Highly recommended. I'm a subscriber. Jamie, appreciate you coming. If you got a question for Jamie, shoot me an email. This guy knows a lot about mining, way more than I do. I know enough to be dangerous. Jamie knows enough to be deadly.
Good. Thank you very much for having me, Kerry.
Hey, and hey, sign up for our newsletter, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Jamie, we'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.